Welcome back in. Second period intermission here between the Silverbacks and the Penticton Bees in this interior conference final matchup. Of course, there's one other conference final matchup going on right now across in the Coastal Conference, the Alberni Valley Bulldogs and the Chilliwack Chiefs. I'm now joined with Evan Hammond, the play-by-play broadcaster of the Alberni Valley Bulldogs. Evan, thanks so much for joining me. What's the last couple of weeks been like for you?
Oh, first off, my absolute pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. What's the last couple of weeks been like? I mean, holy cow. I'm out of laundry, Tony. I have had more meals on the ferry than I would care to admit to, and have put in a lot of sailings that, you know, 10 days ago, I would have been done going on the ferry and not wanted to do it anymore. But then when the Bulldogs suddenly lost the first couple of games in Surrey, I and the rest of the team, I think I could speak for them, would very happily have had the opportunity to jump back on that boat. To go back there for seven, I don't think was part of the plan. But now that they've done so, now that they've come through on the sunny side and came out shiny, it's been a heck of a run. It's been really fun, and I'm sure I've seen from our crowds what the people in the city of Salmon Arm have shown in your building to your team, just the pride and the passion and the excitement, and the can you believe we get paid for this kind of deal this time of year. It's been a wild ride. Just buckle up, hold on for dear life, and just take wherever it goes kind of deal is what the last couple of weeks have been like in this neck of the woods.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. And in the same regard, people out here in Salmon Arm as well, especially in the Interior Conference, don't really see the travel schedule that you guys see in the Coastal Conference. Obviously, there's a lot of ferry rides in between for yourself and the entire team. You obviously touched on it there. But just talk about that extra grind that has in the players. And you talked about going to a seven-game series against Surrey back and forth. You're going to do it again here against Chilliwack, taking the ferry. But just talk about that extra level of travel that your team goes through on a year-to-year basis.
You know what? I'm not just saying this to pander to the Interior Conference listener. I've needed to say that first because you and your listeners might think that. But I don't think it compares at all to what the teams in the Interior Conference go through. Yes, there is a physical geographical barrier that separates half of this conference, but I mean, as it's more for the teams and the expense and the operations side, I think that it's less of a grind on the players. I mean, who doesn't enjoy, at least this time of year, the opportunity to get off the bus, to walk around, to have that freedom of movement, to be out in fresh air? Sure, it's less than desirable when you play games that you have another factor where you can't get back home and you have to overnight in a hotel, and or you're leaving a day early because and probably earlier than you want to because of when the ferries are and aren't running. Sure, it's a factor, and it's a little bit of an issue. I think if you look at the Interior Conference minus the the Okanagan shoe swap, whatever you call your area there, I think you guys have it tougher. I mean, how many hours is it, enlighten me, from Salmon Arm to Prince George, for example?
Yeah, it's about 7 hours, about six and a half, seven to Prince George, and then about the same going down to Wenatchee.
Yeah, so I mean, throw in Cranbrook and Trail, right? And I just think the Bulldogs had a pretty beneficial first-round matchup that would be similar to maybe you guys playing Vernon, Penticton playing you guys, mixing West Kelowna, Vernon. That all worked out, right? Going to Victoria. Having to hop over to Surrey, that's a different challenge. It would have been, for us geographically and just local fan bases, the dream matchup would have been Alberni and Nanaimo. I mean, there's less than an hour that celebrates that I know you guys can relate to in that neck of the woods that we unfortunately don't have, and we got to go to Chilliwack. But yeah, as for the long answer to the question, I don't think it's that much of a grind. I think financially it's definitely a big hit to these teams, but I don't compare it at all with having to spend 7 to 8 hours cooped up on a bus. I mean, I've been doing it my whole life, and I've lost a lot of years there. I mean, it's enjoyable, but not the same.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And I'm not going to lie, as an island boy, I would definitely pick the ferry schedule. But, you know, here we are in Salmon Arm, and I guess teach their own. But talking about the two rounds you guys have had thus far, obviously you talked about the series with Victoria on the island. You guys, unbelievable start in that first round. And then the second round comeback over the Surrey Eagles. You dropped the first two games of the series. So just walk me through the first two rounds so far. Obviously, we got your perspective there on what you've seen. But just on the ice, you've had some tremendous individual performance that have helped elevate your team to this next level and onto the conference final for the first time in a decade. So maybe just tell me what you've seen so far from your guys and what to expect here in round three against Chilliwack.
Am I allowed to answer a question with a question?
I would love that.
Okay. Did you think for game one and maybe game two of your series against Vernon that your four-game first-round sweep did you any favors, or maybe perhaps had you somewhat dulled, a little bit overrested and rusty, and a little bit untested? Because that's what I thought a little bit happened between the Bulldogs and the Eagles. A four-game sweep, any team that's involved in it, I'm sure you'd say the same, it's harder than a four-game sweep that... yeah, sure, we beat them in four games. They're a double overtime game for you guys in there, right, against Prince George and a couple one-goal games. Having said that, it's just not the same as losing a game. It's not the same as trailing a series. Surrey, for example, they split at home. They had the test of going to Powell River where they were facing two games in their building, and they had lost home ice advantage. I think there was a little bit of that affected the Bulldogs in their four-game sweep against the Grizzlies going into Surrey. They lost the first two games in that rink. That was tough. You touched a little bit on the individual performers. Well, they came home the next two games incredibly tight. I mean, Surrey had a puck on the goal line to tie game three with under 30 seconds to play. It stays out. Surrey may argue different. There was then an overtime game the next game. And then the momentum shifted in the series. I also really thought that the Bulldogs were a physically punishing team, and I'm not sure in all the years I've been doing this, and it's been long, that I've actually believed that games 1 through 4 had a significant impact to the level of games 5 through 7 that I witnessed in this series. The Eagles lost bodies in the first couple of games. They lost another body in game 6 that... The contact that was received on the hit was very minimal, which leads me to believe there was something that happened earlier and this player was perhaps playing on borrowed time. It just seemed like the Bulldogs physically wore the Eagles down, and it's a battle of attrition, right, when it's a series. And this really was a series. I mean, I think the Bulldogs didn't win the games early, but won the late games for what they did in the early games, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely. And it was definitely an interesting series to follow. Also, the only series that's went to 7 games so far in the postseason. So definitely adds an element to that. But you move on to round 3, the conference finals, the Coastal Conference finals, and you're going up against Chilliwack, the best of 7. Of course, you guys, later on in the regular season, there is a bit of a feud, I guess you could say, between the two squads.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Obviously, I had to bring that up, but you just talk about that. You talk what's at stake. The winner moves on and will have a chance to play for the Fred Page Cup. So what are you expecting to see here in this best of 7?
I always go by the old expect the unexpected adage, but Chilliwack is a team that from the first time I saw them this year, I wouldn't say fearful is the word I would use, but it was a matchup that I didn't want the Bulldogs to have. Not saying I didn't believe in them. I just believed in the Chiefs. I just think they're an offensively high-end team. I mean, they have a Vegas Golden Knight draft pick that leads them on defense, that leads them in scoring. I think you don't get to where they are at, where the Bulldogs are at, the Silverbacks or the V's are at this point of the year if you're not a really good team. And I think it'll be a heck of a matchup. I think home ice will be a deciding factor. Bulldogs are packing their rink, and Chilliwack can't pack theirs or haven't, from what I've seen. I almost liken it to the support Stamina Arm gets in their rink, and how Penticton, well, it's just different, and I wonder how much of a factor that will be.
And you briefly touched on it there. The home ice advantage for you guys, I was leading into my next question. The Dog Pound, I've spent a lot of games there, as well as a kid growing up on the island, going to watch in that arena. I know the atmosphere that comes with it, but maybe just talk briefly about what the support has meant to you and the team as a whole as you guys went on this nice playoff run.
It's been ridiculous, and I've been here so long that I think I've seen it all. And there was a goal in Game 6 against Surrey, a series of goals, in fact, where each time they scored, I thought it was the loudest I'd ever heard it, and there's no way possible it could be louder. And 45 seconds later, it was, and they scored again. And it's the intangibles, too. I mean, the Bulldogs left their rink for Game 7 with about 50 to 100 people in their parking lot cheering them on. They had three sections of fans behind their bench in Surrey, Operation Human Shield, after some stuff had happened in that rink. Through Game 5, because the bench is really accessible there to the crowd. It's not usually a problem there, but when the rink has people in it that are full to that level, it became one. That's just little things, right? They come out for warm-up in Game 7 with three fan sections behind their bench. They go up 2-0 3 minutes into the game. It's hard for me to not think that those two things are perhaps a little bit linked. The final probably cherry on top was they knew leaving for Game 7 on a Monday that there were going to be fans inside their rink demanding to watch the game on the big screen Tuesday. And just knowing that's happening, whether you're there and can see it and can hear it, I think it just is just this time of year, every tiny edge against teams that are so good that you can latch onto, you have to. I mean, if there's any little tiny bump you can get from anything, try to make that molehill a mountain. And I think they've done that, and I think their fans have given them just extra reasons, just the support they get at home, but the support they've gotten on the road when they're leaving home. It all adds up.
Absolutely. And that, my last question for you, you guys have a former Silverback there. Of course, earlier in the year, the Silverbacks and Bulldogs made a pretty sizable trade earlier on in November, but Owen Desilets there, the defenseman, he spent some time here in Salmon Arm. Just talk about what you've seen from Desilets. Obviously, he made his commitment earlier in his year to play Division I hockey. What have you seen from Desilets and then maybe expect from here in this third-round matchup?
I've absolutely loved the kid. If Salmon Arm is getting anywhere near what the Bulldogs are getting out of their acquisition in that move, then it's that rare, beneficial to both organizations kind of scenario. He has just been fantastic. Offensively, as a defenseman, I think the Bulldogs were really missing that aspect to their game. They have a large, mobile, sizable defense, but I wouldn't say prior to that, in his acquisition, that they had an offensively gifted, able to move the puck, control the pace kind of defensive player, and he's been just that. He has had a hand in some very big goals. He, in Surrey, was a fantastic player, as you're familiar with how well he is able to skate the puck. Well, you give him an extra 7.5 feet on each side of the rink. For a guy that's elusive and mobile already, he was just licking his chops playing in that rink. And I talked to him in advance of Game 7, and he's been really, really good.
Love to hear that. It's great to hear, regardless of where the players move on to, when you have a chance to meet them. It's just always great to see their success falling through. So, Evan, thank you so much for your time, and I really hope that in a couple weeks' time we have a matchup between the Bulldogs and the Silverbacks. So thank you again.
My pleasure, and I'm knocking on wood for it.
And that was Evan Hammond, play-by-play broadcaster for the Alberta Valley Bulldogs. That's going to wrap things up here for the second period intermission. We'll be right back around the corner for third period coverage here between the Silverbacks and the V's.